Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, the podcast about video games, hosted by three of the most thorough and knowledgeable game journalists this side of
the Mississippi.
Very good stuff. Classic video game reference. My name is Tommy Dasilo. You may know me from my other podcast, Little Dum Dum Club. I'm a big Nintendo fan. I've owned every Nintendo console going around. Who else we got?
My name's Ben Vanell. You may know me for... is this a podcast? So to the 40 people who still remember that? What do? I play PS4 and I love to have fun.
Before we began recording, Ben Vanell said that he's famously bad at improv. And boy howdy, that star on the Hollywood Walk is glittering brightly tonight.
Well, good. Now that we've pointed out that we're judging these, my name is Adam Knox. I have an Xbox. I'm the Xbox One out of us.
Yeah,
and that's
Xbox
also what
One.
It's called. Oh. Pretty good. That's how you improv, motherfucker.
Fuck.
And you know,
you won Class Clowns.
Yeah, fuck off. I did. I
Xbox One Class Clowns.
Oh. Yeah. I came PS4. No, I didn't.
I think you could. No, you wouldn't have placed.
No.
It was my proudest crowning achievement.
Now. Last week.
What about when you were crowning when you were born? How was that as a crowning achievement?
I don't have a strong memory of it.
You should tweet that, mate.
It's
That's
stuff,
great wordplay.
Yeah.
Now, last week we had Michael Hing on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big video games guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect we might have got some new listeners out of having him on and,
quite possibly.
And him promoting it. Oh, so, yeah. Tommy, I've written something for you to read. It's a rap that summarizes the show.
You piece of shit.
I'm going to post it in our Facebook chat.
Oh, okay.
I'd like you to read it out.
By the way, we have a Facebook chat where we organize all the goings-on of this podcast, and the name of the Facebook chat is still now the original name of this podcast, which was Nintendo 69.
Yes.
We've been clinging on to it for months. Oh, you are an asshole.
The last thing that you wrote for this wasn't good.
Yeah. Let's see how this goes.
The last thing I wrote in this chat, just for the listeners, was Knox. I'm just pulled up on Glen Lyon Road, just before Sydney Road.
Don't
when you
tell them where we live,
fuck, mate. They're going to swarm the place.
Yeah, I pulled up out the corner of Ben's house, which is the corner of Glen Lyon and Sydney Road.
Yeah, okay. I live in Brunswick Town Hall.
That's where I stay.
All right. My name is Tommy D, and I'm here to say I'm summing up the show in a super cool way. We got Adam Knox, and he likes Mountain Dew. We got Benny V, and he likes it too. I like Mountain Dew, and I hope you do too.
So that's it.
Oh, my God.
I hope that explains the show to new listeners.
The message from Ben goes on. In case this isn't clear, this is my suicide note. I'm sorry that I failed you all. Goodbye, cruel world. Game over, man. Oh. Good to get a video games reference in there.
Yeah, we have to start dropping more video games references, I think.
Mm, I don't know why we would start now.
One up.
Def Jam Vendetta.
What
that
the
was that's a video game, and
is
it's about
really?
Rap.
Oh, okay.
It's about rappers fighting.
DJ Hero is a game.
There's rap in that.
Yep.
We should say quickly, we'll talk about this in more depth later, but we were at PAX over the weekend.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and we observed people playing the Pimp My Ride video game.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which was wonderful. Which is not what in any way what I expected it to be.
Including two former guests. Luke McGregor and Michael Hing.
Michael Hing, yes. I think everyone in the room, the show was... People, comedians playing bad games and commentating it on a big screen.
Yep.
It would be real bad if there was no screen and just describing to an audience what they were seeing.
There's a little yellow circle and he's hungry, I guess. He's
Super Mario quick. Brothers. Yeah,
he looks lost.
I think everyone in the room expected it to be like a design sort of game. Yeah, I think everyone thought we were going to watch someone just kind of like paint a car or something.
Yeah, like the like the Grand Theft Auto thing where you go into the garage and you add a bunch of
But instead, it's just a Grand Theft. It's a very bad Grand Theft Auto clone.
Yeah,
where you're just driving around nearly running people over.
Yeah, occasionally you got out of the car and danced though. That was
pretty cool.
You was fucking awesome actually. Yeah. I hate that. That's definitely a real thing. What do they call it?
Ghost riding the whip.
Ghost riding the whip, and he gets out and like the car's just driving along slowly because he's like left it in neutral. Not neutral. That's famous for not moving.
They don't have a license, they do, Knox.
I'm not allowed to drive anymore.
Yeah.
No. The government told me that my days of that are behind me. I ghost rode too many whips.
They got sick. You're permanently ghost riding the whip. You never drive.
You're ghost riding a ghost whip.
I'm just dancing down the street. Is all that is.
But yeah, it's like a bonus round where the car drives along really slow and you have to like...
It like becomes a dancing game. Like with it's a timing,
like a
you
rhythm,
know.
Yeah. Well, actually, it wasn't even rhythm though. You just had to jam in the three buttons that came up.
At the right time and then you would do these like funky, like doing backflips and stuff like that. I feel like the developers never even saw the show that the game is based on.
I think that's a fair
and
bet.
And just took the title Pimp My Ride and went, what if a pimp was just driving around in a ride? Very good stuff. Very entertaining show.
Yeah.
We remarked on this afterwards, but it was very funny. Luke McGregor constantly, his commentary was just chiming in and saying, run over that guy. Run over that guy.
Yeah.
Very good. Didn't get a lot in the room.
No,
got a lot from us. Didn't kill in the same way. Well, I mean, we'll get to this later, but it was interesting watching like kind of comedy things with a sort of a non-comedy crowd. Like there were multiple, you know, calls that people made on stage where the three of us were like, in any gig that we're used to doing or seeing a crowd, that would kill.
Yeah.
But they're tough. They're a tough
I guess we are better than them.
It was interesting because the three kind of main hosts were killing. Like they were doing real good stuff.
Well, and it was a lot of like if you referenced video games.
Yes.
That seemed to
and,
like.
And it wasn't even like dumb humor or
simple. Not like Cake is a Lie bullshit. Yeah, it was like. Yeah. This is like Def Jam Vendetta. And then one of the idiots
saying,
what the fuck is that?
I thought you were going to think that was going to kill in that room.
If you could listen to it, if you could go back in time and listen to how many people who listening to this podcast went, fuck, and spat out milk.
So you want us to go back in time to listen to how many
of
our listeners.
Don't analyze it, you nerds.
Big milk drinkers, our audience. Nothing I love more than sitting down with a podcast, pouring myself a big old glass of Rev.
But it's got to be milk.
Sipping away as I listen on the old podcast
box. It's
because
if you spit it out or it comes out your nose, milk is the most visible liquid.
Yeah, so you're the one that looks the most like cum, which also is funny.
Yeah, exactly.
In this fantasy, you're thinking about the visuals.
Yeah, they're on a train as well. In my brain, they're sitting drinking milk on a train.
Right.
I haven't thought about it too hard. Let's move on and edit that out.
Hey, no, leave it in. If you've ever drunk milk while listening to this or any podcast, let us know. Honk that email RSVP button.
Yeah.
So when you said you had a little something to do up the top of the show, Ben, was that it?
Yep.
Fantastic. Okay.
How long did it take you to write that rap?
Five minutes. I did it.
5 minutes.
I did
is
it just before you arrived. Well, okay.
Anything more than zero.
This is what happened. I got out a notebook and a pen, and I was like, okay, I'm going to write this out. And I wrote two lines.
Where'd you buy the pen from?
What the? Why do you?
It just seems you're going way back into this story. I want you to go further.
I want you to know.
That's not enough for me.
That I started writing it
time
physically.
Time was when I didn't even understand what these little symbols we call letters meant.
I got
but
tired.
I figured it out.
I got physically tired of writing with a pen, and so I wrote it on my phone. So the transition from notebook to phone accounted for a lot of the time spent.
You got physically tired of writing it with a pen.
Yeah.
Where did
what
you
are
get
you
up to?
Yeah.
And I'm here to say.
Yeah.
My wrist is fucking aching.
I got
I can barely pick up SA. My milk.
Yeah.
Brittle little bones, you know what that says to me? You need to be drinking more milk.
Drink some of that milk, man. Mix it in with your Mountain Dew.
Milkman.
Beautiful. Drink that milkman.
Chocolate spider.
Drink him right up.
We have to talk about video games here at some point.
Should we talk about PAX, I guess?
I reckon we get to PAX in the end. We've got a couple of current things I'd like to get to. So big news since we recorded last was this has been talked about for a little while now, but Nintendo have made a big proclamation, if you will, that they are going to enter the mobile app market.
Yes.
That's been big news for them. I think they've said something like they're going to release 5 over the space of a year.
Yep.
So they sort of put that out there a little while ago, and then there's sort of been no new news on it. People are sort of speculating, you know, what's it going to be? So finally, about a week ago, there was a trade show that they were at, and they announced what it is. And what it is, people around the world waiting with bated breath. You know, Nintendo, the leaders in innovation, the leaders in games development. What are they going to do to change up?
Yep.
To change up the game, the mobile game market. What they are doing is a thing called Miitomo, which is basically...
Now, you've just said your name there.
No, you must be loving it.
I should love it, right?
Yeah.
Wait, maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Maybe because I'm trying to... It's Miitomo. But me, so in right. Australia, that'd be Miitomo.
Yeah. Miitomo.
It's Miitomo. It's basically the little me things from Wii and Wii U. I don't feel like I'm overstating the impact that the Mii's had. We all of us, we tolerate them in our systems.
I absolutely tolerate them. That's a good way to put it.
It's basically an app on your phone where you can design them and then you can visit other people's and just let they hang out in a room and you chat and you dress them up in clothes.
So it's something that would never be used on a 3DS. They're making... For phones.
Well, because that thing, what was it? Was Tomodachi Life? That must be what Tomo comes from, I guess.
But that was still, that was like a fully fledged. Like, I mean,
it's just a little tiny.
It's just a tiny piece of crap. It should just be. It should just be out. It should have just come out in conjunction with the Wii U, and it's like, hey, if you can't be bothered making one on your console, you can make it on your phone and import it somehow across into the Wii U.
Yeah.
It should. It shouldn't be like this. Is their big. Push.
Yeah.
They are the most frustrating company. Like, I know, like, any idiot can say it, the easiest thing to do is look at a company and say, this is how I would run that. This is how I'd make it
if
better.
If I was the boss of Nintendo.
Yeah. And the thing is, any other company that someone could say that about, they're wrong. They couldn't do it better. But Nintendo is the one company where I feel like pretty much any of their fans is right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
they could do a better job.
Yep.
If they're like the whole mobile game thing for them, it's about money and like they're just like money wise, they need coin.
Well, especially in Japan, that's just the way it's all going over there. Is the mobile is a massive thing.
Imagine
put
if they
fucking Super Mario Brothers out as an app. Yeah. That's billions of dollars within 2 days. I reckon. Seriously.
Yeah. It's imagine like a virtual console app.
Yeah.
Store, you know, where you can buy old games and play them on your phone. That would be amazing.
But I don't get
genuinely,
it.
Genuinely, I think maybe Nintendo exists around 8 years in the past.
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah.
Like, they made a big deal about, like, cloud saves are going to exist now between different things. And, like, cool, man, that's about 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's just a well integrated thing.
And
literally everything other than what Nintendo makes.
Yeah.
Shoes do it now.
And the Mii thing, like... What?
Don't think about it. Shoes do it now.
Shoes have cloud save.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, just and the Mii thing as well. Like, I hate this thing that they do now of, like, putting Miis into all the games. Like, Mario Kart, you can play as your Mii.
Yeah.
Smash
Who
Brothers.
Gives a
it's
fuck?
It's the least interestingly designed thing ever.
They
it's
look
so,
like shit. You can't even design them, like... There's not enough freedom with them for me. It's that's what's annoying about it. And it's so weird how it came out and I guess like they were sort of the first to do it with the Wii and people were like, oh, okay, that's kind of it. With the Wii it was all like, hey, your grandma can sort of understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
But then Xbox and stuff have kind of gotten in off the back of it as well.
Yeah,
like PlayStation they have little
3.
Avatars.
They have
they?
The avatars but they got rid of them. They at some point they still kind of have them, I think, but like they don't show up that much anymore.
Yeah, I feel like on the PS3 when it came out, there was like a your town, and it was you could create an avatar.
Oh yeah,
home.
Just,
PlayStation Home.
That's right. Yeah,
that's
PlayStation
shut down
Home.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and for good reason. It was just people like walking around doing like the gesture things.
The
like,
same as
oh,
all
I'm
of
leaving.
Those like fucking Second Life. It's just the dregs of creeps who end up doing those things. It's real spooky.
Real
Second
fucking
Life
weirdos.
Is something that like I
probably
think,
like podcast fans, people like that.
Yeah, idiots.
Oh boy. this thing where game developers and companies kind of just really misjudge it, where it's like, here's what people want, a little interactive community with little avatars of them running around. No, I want to buy a game, I want to put it in, and I want to forget about my shit life for an hour. I don't want to be reminded about it by having a little me that's like, nah, because you design it. So it's like, you ever go to...
You make it like, am I going to make it fat?
Yeah.
Am I going to admit like, it should look fat?
I had a brutal thing where people came around to my house once and were like, is that meant to be you? Like, yeah, that's what I look like. Isn't it like, absolutely not.
Some people on the Xbox with those old ones, I'll get it up on Facebook now because it's still there, made an avatar thing of me.
I
looked at the time. I'll get it up and we'll put it in the fucking photo or whatever for this because... It really does make me never want to live.
Fuck.
I'll get it up. Yeah, keep.
Yeah.
Me, Tomo, severely severely disappointing announcement. Yeah. I mean, they're meant to have maybe four others going that are in development or whatever. I just, God, if they've got any sense at all, I hope that one of them is like a cool new Mario thing or just them not trying to be like.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that?
What happened with that Pokemon one?
That's still in the pipe, I believe, but that's not Nintendo. That's like Game Freak who make Pokemon.
And they're just like owned by Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Hopefully. Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried now that they're all just going to be like this. They're just gonna
shitty
be
little
dumb apps.
Yeah.
They'll be like a fucking Mahjong game.
Yeah.
They'll just put out a bunch of shit, I reckon.
It'll be like a photo editor where you can put Mario stickers on your photos and stuff.
Oh, yeah, some dumb Mario Paint type of thing where it's like, press here and Mario's going to turn red. Oh, you can make him orange.
Yeah, exactly.
What
exactly
the fuck?
That. Oh, red and orange Mario.
You know what would be cool?
What?
An app that's just like, you know the start of Mario 64 where his head was 3D and where you could grab his head and fuck around with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that on an app would be pretty cool.
It'd be better.
It wouldn't be amazing, but it'd be better than fucking Me Tomo.
Yeah.
I giggled in the middle of that sentence because I got the Xbox avatar of Noxie that is Fred.
Christ. That would be you in like the Jimmy Neutron series.
How long ago is this?
In the Jimmy Neutron series, if I'd have given up and started teaching geography.
Yeah.
6 years?
6 years
about
ago.
About as far behind as Nintendo are now.
Oh, yeah.
And you have glasses in that, I notice?
I wear glasses.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I've got contact lenses.
I've never seen you wear glasses.
Yeah, I've got contact lenses.
So you don't wear glasses?
Well, no, but I have shit vision.
I've seen him wearing glasses.
Hmm.
And let me tell you, I'm glad he's not wearing them now.
I've seen you wear glasses, Ben, and let me tell you, you should wear them more often.
Oh.
They look good on you.
Really? I just don't like them as a principle. Yeah.
Actually, this is something interesting. This is kind of to do with video games.
Okay. Not.
I find I'm more easily able to pay attention to a video game if I'm wearing glasses than wearing contact lenses.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's maybe something to do with the frames being there and like tunneling your vision.
It literally frames your vision.
And I'm kind of like, I'm more used to
60 frames per second.
Having
tactical espionage.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's that tunnel vision thing. I guess if I just like put like horse blinkers on, I get really fucking into a game.
That's
or just
probably
be a
true.
Really good runner.
I've always wanted to have glasses.
Really?
Yeah, I've always really wanted to.
That's a stupid.
I used to when I was a kid, and then I got them, and boy howdy, I don't like having them, and I can't see without them.
Yeah, no shit. That's what they're for.
All right, Adam, shut up.
They made me kind of scared of heights because I never used to be scared of heights as a kid, but I would wear glasses, and so if I looked over the edge of something, they would start to slip.
Oh, yeah.
That would make me get anxious.
Yeah, right.
And now that's
my glasses.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be sitting up. I have not had an easy life, all right? I've had glasses. And that's it. My parents are fine, and I'm all right. But like, I had glasses. But that's it does bother me that they become fashionable because like I got a real circular face, and so the glasses tend to just make it look more circle. So I look stupid with them.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of wish I had them. But anyway.
Why?
Look,
get some with clear lenses.
Yeah, I did that for a bit.
No, that's fucked up.
Yeah, I did that for a little bit.
Well, why do you care, Noxie?
Because I know this is like the old classic thing. Like it's like an open mic, but basically.
Yeah.
But it's like if you had a wheelchair for fashion. Because I like when I was
it's
growing
not
up,
at all.
I've done when that as well.
I was wheeling around with my glasses on.
When I was growing, I'm just pretend I've got a bit of palsy. It's cool now.
I have seen you pretend to have palsy.
When I was growing up, like I got bullied, like partly because of the glasses.
Oh God!
And walk around going like,
how much was the glasses, and how much
would you
was
feel,
your
like,
personality?
How would you feel if something you got bullied about suddenly became fashionable? If now, because it's fashionable, people are walking around being
I'd
real
be
bad
relieved.
At improv and stupid.
Well,
walking around with a dumb
that's
haircut.
This whole fucking podcast. Like, I played games in high school, and it wasn't cool. And now game. I wouldn't say it's like super cool, but it's like jocks play fucking Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But there's no such thing as jocks and nerds and stuff anymore, really.
God.
When was the last time you met a jock?
I've been too scared to approach them. So.
Well, this has been a fantastic insight into the Me Tomo app. And Let's close it on up.
It's important to have those little avatars because you can tell at a glance who's a jock and who's a nerd.
Yeah. They're wearing the Letterman jacket or they're wearing glasses.
Yeah, they give you the little football helmet you can put on. They have, you know, like all the amiibos they have.
Yeah.
You can buy, because they're just going through all of the Smash Brothers characters.
Right.
You can get the Mii character, but it's like...
It's not you.
It's just
but
a it's generic.
Exactly. It's like
guy.
The generic, like, blank.
Yeah.
Who, like.
I kind of look like the generic blank for me.
Yeah, you do look like just if someone said, like, picture a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
I just don't get, like, that is a slap in the face to the real completionists. Like, there's no reason for that. Yeah. No one's like, oh, goody, the Mii one's out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only people buying that are the people who've made the commitment who want to have the obsessives who want to have everything.
Yeah.
Cut them a fucking break and just leave them out of the series. They're already spending hundreds of dollars on getting two different Marios and two different Yoshis.
Somebody must be really into Mii's though. I don't know whether it's just like a, you know, like an executive at Nintendo who keeps saying,
I just think it's a thing where they've decided, like, you know, it's like, oh, everyone's using them and everyone's posting them. It's like, because you have to. Like, you have to if you own one of their systems. I just think it's a thing where they've convinced themselves
people
that...
People really love Southeast Water.
Yeah,
everybody signed up with it. No, we
exactly,
it's water.
Yeah. If they got rid of it in the next system, which I hope they, I hope Nintendo's next thing is just they just strip away all the bullshit.
Yeah,
if
like basically design a new...
If their next console was just make it make something that's par to par with the PlayStation 4 in terms of hardware.
Do you reckon that's likely, though?
Chase those... I'm saying in an ideal world. Yeah. I mean, what I would love to see them do is chase... Get hardcore third-party support back on board.
This is
what
so strange.
What the PS4, though, has done and the Xbox is instead of Mii's, they just link with your Facebook account, basically.
Yeah. That's like our little online community that we... It's an actual social
media. It already exists, so why not?
I think calling it our little is sort of underselling it a little bit.
There's this little thing called Facebook that we've just... me and some mates...
Me and Sean Parker and Mr. Zuckerberg. It's really weird, though, that...
Mr. Zuckerberg.
How do you know Sean Parker's full name... But not Zuckerberg's first name.
I know, it's Mark. No, but isn't this strange that we can talk about Nintendo bringing out a new console and we just know it's not going to actually be up to par on with
respect
to the hardware?
That's a given at this point,
Like, and why the fuck not?
Well, because, I mean, I get what you're saying, but the actual reason is... From there, what they've said, they always want to be budget. Like, they always want to be the cheap, accessible option because their stuff is generally sort of geared at the younger market. I think that's bullshit. But, it's so frustrating.
The people buying...
Also, even if it's geared at the younger market... Like
the parents are buying
and,
it.
iPads and shit have proven that parents are willing to spend...
Yeah.
You know what? Parents will spend money on their child.
Yeah.
It's not
the kids' allowance going towards it. It doesn't make any sense.
And
parents,
they're not even...
Yeah.
After like a year, there's not even any difference anyway. Like the PS4 it came out at the moment is like $350.
Yeah.
That's only like $50 more than getting a Wii U.
I'm not 100% positive this is a case for PS4s, but it definitely was for PS3s that Sony loses money on the machines.
Right.
And that they make the money back from the tariff or whatever that they get from every game sold.
I think that might be right,
Nintendo made money off of every Wii sold.
Yeah.
So the fact that they made it a little hamstrung early on ended up making them a lot more money than if they'd have had it be at parity with an Xbox or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. I just think if they weren't such a good first party developer, they would be fucked. Like they would be
Completely. Well, like Sega, they just console makers can fucking die.
But isn't it weird to think, because I've talked recently about how I've been going back in on the emulators of like the Nintendo 64 and stuff and playing and revisiting, you know, like that was like right in my wheelhouse of, you know, mid high school, prime video game time sort of thing. All of those big, like, you had Nintendo, but then when they had Rare on board, like, Rare were basically Nintendo 2, where you had Banjo-Kazooie, you had Jet Force Gemini. I played Blast Corps again the other day.
That was fucking awesome game.
GoldenEye.
Yep.
They just hit after hit after hit, and then I don't quite know how that relationship, like, fell apart.
Well, Microsoft bought them.
Well, yeah, but like how Nintendo put themselves in a position where they're not going, we fucking need these guys
honestly,
so bad.
Like, look at what Rare's done since Microsoft bought them.
Nothing.
Exactly. I'll tell you what they did. They did the avatars. Rare is who made them.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah.
See, this is what I was thinking about the other day. This is what's crazy is that they leave and almost as soon as they leave, Nintendo changes a lot. Like, their fortunes shift massively as soon as they don't have Rare on board.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then, again, what's weird about that is the same thing happens for Rare. Like, where they don't have any... It's not like you go, oh, all of a sudden, Microsoft are going to have hit on the Xbox.
No. Yeah,
hits on a par with... Got hits from the bong on a par with like GoldenEye and Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, yeah.
They just
they made Grab by the Ghoulies.
Yeah,
and a remake of Conker.
And they bought back Banjo Kazooie.
Oh yeah,
and
they did.
Fucked
oh, really?
The mechanic of it, where it was like you make a car and it's like Pimp My Ride, Banjo Kazooie.
Oh, great.
You make a car and drive it around, and like I remember because I loved those Banjo games. I remember watching the video review of it on IGN and just and sort of. It can sort of feel like sports teams in a way a little bit with video games.
Yeah.
It's like I was really like, oh, fuck, they've got this game that I loved as a kid, and there's a completionist in me that really wants to play this new one, and watching the review and it being real bad and being like,
I don't think it was bad, though. It was just completely different.
I think the the license of Banjo-Kazooie, like if it had been its own thing, people probably wouldn't have. But people
Car
like,
Bear.
This isn't a fucking... This isn't a Banjo-Kazooie game. What the fuck's this?
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, look, we'll see. We'll see.
Yep.
Ben, what do you got this week? What have you been playing? We watched you play a bit of Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yep, so I have been playing that. I've only been playing it for a couple hours. So people are touting this as like a return to form.
Mm-hmm.
After Unity, which was set during the French Revolution, did not do well with critics at all.
Are they doing this thing now that a lot of games do where they're like, they'll do... Like number three, and then and then four.
They did that initially, two. So there was Assassin's Creed two.
This will take.
There's like
hour.
Three sequels, and then three.
It's fucked. There's a million.
There's heaps of them at this point.
Yeah.
Right?
Three was not good. I hated it. You played as like, it was during the American Civil War, and you were like this.
Is it American Revolution?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was, and you were like.
I think the British are in it.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
You play as like a part Native American guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was shitty. I hated that. Black Flag was pretty good though.
I know you meant the game, but the way you said it, I fucking hated playing as this Native American dude. I just felt weird the whole time.
Kept trying to fucking fuck with the settings on me TV to change his skin color. Couldn't do it.
Actually, no, that would work.
If they'd have let me play as my me, I could have had my white me.
No, my me is black.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dishonest.
But yeah, black. Speaking of black, Assassin's Creed Black Flag came out.
That was a pirate one.
And and that was quite good. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Then this Unity one came out, and everyone was like, it's shit, it's boring, it's like the story's bad. And number one point, stories never mattered in the Assassin's Creed games.
You see, I completely disagree with you.
Well.
And this is my big problem with Assassin's Creed now. I'll let you finish, but then
drop anchor and have a little chat.
Assassin's Creed 2 had one of the coolest things I've ever seen happen with the story of a game in it.
Yeah.
Where right at the end, this is a spoiler for a fucking
10-year-old. Yeah.
But right at the end, this... space ghost woman is
one of the best moments in gaming.
What happens? Have you played any of these?
No.
Okay, so what?
And I never will after this assessment.
You play as like two different characters in most of them. Where you're this guy called in the first few, you're this guy called Desmond in the future.
Desmond Tutu.
That's him. You play as Desmond Tutu.
You wear a tutu
in the future.
That's great.
And he's an assassin. No, you go. You wake up in this thing. Anyway, they send you
like. Going into the past being an assassin is like a Matrix-y kind of thing.
Yes.
I've played the first 15 minutes of the first one.
They access your genetic memory, which is the most bullshit sci-fi dumb shit fucked up.
But the kind of like thread throughout all the games is like there's these like artifacts that are really powerful, and the Templars want them and the assassins want them.
Because there were aliens who existed before people, or it was people before people.
Wait, is this Scientology?
So this guy came along called Desmond Ron Hubbard. And he was an amazing.
I'm just
going
to measure your thetan level.
But anyway, so you're in the future and you're in the past, and there was this bit where this space ghost alien at the end of two looks right at the camera. She's talking to the character in like ancient Italy, not ancient, but old Italy.
Yeah,
and she's talking to this character,
old Italy.
She's talking to this character. Little Italy. She's saying like, "Hey, the sun was going to explode, so we did some fucked up shit, and it hurt all of us." And then she starts looking at the camera. She looks directly at you and starts talking to you, and he's like. Hey, excuse me. Why aren't you talking to me anymore? And she's like, She ignores him, and she's talking to fucking you.
Yeah.
And she's looking at it. It was really cool. And I kind of got invested in the future stuff, which is where they made it look like they were going to go.
Yeah.
And then at some point, one of the games was going to be you in the future being a future assassin. But Ubisoft went, oh, this is making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Let's fuck that off.
Yeah.
Because we want to make these forever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the third game should have ended the story.
Totally.
But
they ended up firing the guy who created it.
Yeah.
And he fucked off. And they've strung it out into such a thin thread. One of them every year.
Yeah, I don't even.
Can
think
I very quickly just backtrack very briefly?
No,
the coolest thing you've ever seen in a video game.
No, I don't know. I exaggerate sometimes. It makes me sound awesome.
I don't even think it sounds cool at all.
A woman is talking to someone else, and then she turns and talks to you, and you're like, "Fuck, this is awesome!
Someone's finally talking to me."
This is worth popping the contacts in for.
It's well done, I thought.
Okay.
The mix between the future and the past ends up being pretty cool.
Nothing? Okay.
Well, I was stifling a little giggle. I completely disagree. I think the future story is fucking boring and poorly written, and I would prefer if there was... You were just like, boom, you're an assassin in the past. There's no pretense of going back in the genetic memories. Like, I just want to be an assassin. I want to go into that world.
I remember thinking that, not that I played it for long at all, but that whole setup of like, here's the reason that you're an assassin in the past. It's like, that doesn't change how I'm playing the game.
Exactly.
Just have me be an assassin running around.
In the first game, it was definitely less interesting as well. But I thought the second and Brotherhood, which was the third one, kind of got it closer to right. And it ended up where the relation between what you were doing in the past and the future met.
Yes, I do agree. And Brotherhood, I think, is my favorite of the series.
And it could have
been
something that, if they'd have continued with wanting to do that, could have been way cooler as well.
Possibly.
But
they
jumped ship on that. And then, like, in one of them,
literally
just a video game designer, right?
Yes.
And or just
that's
a guy playing a video
three,
game.
Three, I think, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You're
working for the bad Abstergo is the bad guys, right?
And they're just using this technology to make video games. And it's
so
like,
you're a video games tester.
Jesus
and
Christ.
I think that was three, the one where, or maybe that was Black Flag. I don't know.
And that's
one of
the thing. I didn't really give a shit about the pirate ass story because, whatever. I was just a pirate. Who cares?
Yeah. But it was fun to sail ships around and blow ships up with cannons.
I didn't play that one, actually.
It was really fun. And that's what I've liked most about these games is that they seem to be, from the second one on, designed to be fun to play, and that's all that should matter. And they are, and I thought Unity was fun to play, and like it was, they made Paris at the like time of the French Revolution,
the city of love.
It looked amazing. Like, it was amazingly done. The controls were the best they'd been for a bunch of the games because they really somehow fucked it up. So it was very smooth to play. It was just fun. It looked good, and everyone said it was shit because of the story, and I could not give a less.
Well, I haven't really played it, but I heard a lot of the complaints, and this has been the case with a number of games in the last few years, where it was a lot of just like ticking off a checklist, like repeating the same task again and again.
Yes, but the earlier games in the series made that very fun, I think.
I think there was a bit much of it in even the early ones that were good.
Possibly. I think Assassin's Creed 2 is the only game I've ever actually 100%ed.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And I just found it, like, fun. Like, you climb around stuff.
Isn't it weird how you're just saying the checklist thing? Like, that kind of just reminds me of a thing, just to go back very quickly to Rare and everything.
Yeah.
Like, how with trends in games where there'll be a thing, I think it's almost starting to happen with the whole open world thing, where to start with, everyone's like, this is great, and then it's just everything that comes out is like that. And Rare was so guilty of that with Banjo-Kazooie and the whole, and well, you know, going back to Super Mario 64, like they started it off, 8 worlds, and there's just like a million different types of things that you have to collect, and like, that was every game that came out was that, and then by the time they get to Donkey Kong 64, people are like, we fucking get it, and like, the number of things in each level just ballooned out so much.
I reckon this year has been that with open world stuff, because there's been like Mad Max and Metal Gear and like Far Cry last year, and now Assassin's Creed again, and
but people like it. I think most hardcore, quote-unquote, gamers like that. They're like achievement, you know, fans where they want to get everything everything off.
And this is true of any art form, really, is that there's no acknowledgement of like...
video games art.
Oh, boy.
All right, Roger Ebert.
I haven't played many of these games at all, but like I played GTA 5, and it's like, surely to me... That was so great. And it's like, what more is it? It's such a huge world.
Yeah.
And it's like switching between characters, and there's different, like wildly different air. Like you drive over the hills into the desert.
Yeah.
It's like there's never any acknowledgement. And I understand why this happens, but of just going, you know what? Okay, let's get out while the getting's good and start working on what we think might be the next thing rather than just jumping on the back and going, that's kind of done it amazingly and no one can do it better. So let's just do another one of them as well.
And that's pretty much what the Assassin's Creed series has become.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a different template, like a different skin, and, you know, the gameplay is essentially the same but occasionally worse than normal.
Yeah.
Because they're weird. Pumping them out so quick.
Yeah, exactly. And there would be like different teams of developers, you know, in shifts on different games. Yeah. And
this is the other thing. I don't like anything, any series where they're in anything. Like, I listen to a lot of music as well. If a band releases a new album really quickly after the last one, I'm always a little sus.
Yep.
I'm like, really?
Yep.
You couldn't have... Did you put much time into this?
So people are saying that this one is... Syndicate is the return to form for Assassin's Creed. And it's almost indistinguishable from the one that's just been torn apart.
Yeah. Right.
It's just in Victorian London. You wear, you know, English clothes.
Is it a lot of that?
Yes, Charles Dickens is in it.
How you doing?
Oh, you're like, you know how like Da Vinci was in the Renaissance ones?
Yeah,
like they got Dickens. And Alexander Graham Bell is in it.
Hello. These are my great impressions of...
Playing the game before you guys arrived, and my housemate Tim was sitting here with me, and I was like, oh, is that Alexander Graham Bell? He's probably going to be like, call me if you need it. And he literally said that like 3 seconds later. It's like, the writing is not good. The story isn't good.
Great.
Call me if you need, call me maybe.
oh, that would be great. DLC. Carly Rae Jepsen DLC.
So look, it's a good game. It's as good as the other one that just came out, but it's not amazing, and I don't understand why people have suddenly turned around on the series. Like, it's the same
as
the other
one. It's like you want a little more or you don't at this point. You know what I mean? You like the mechanics and you're like, oh, yeah, I could spend a few hours tooling around in this world. Or, you know, I'm done. I've had my fill.
Yeah. There's a weird thing of reviews with especially these sort of like annual games or things that are following a trend that's been a big deal. And the game journalists live in a weird world where they're touching everything.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Of course you're going to get sick of it more quickly if every game you play has it.
Yeah.
But normal people like us.
This is my problem with all criticism. Like when your job is to consume everything, you can't be an objective critic anymore. Like you're incapable of letting the average person know.
Yeah.
Is it worth them picking up?
The Herald Sun reviews every show during the comedy festival.
Exactly.
And they can get fucked. Don't know what they're talking about.
It's true. It happens every comedy festival where you see people who they're going to review a lot. They're reviewing like 2 or 3 shows a night. The comedy festival in Melbourne, for those who don't know, goes for a full month.
Yep.
And first weekend in, they are just, they're loving it. Everything they see, like, they're fresh out. They've been looking forward to this all month and all the, you know, the
front of
the town
hall. We found a babysitter and here we go.
Yeah, the front of the town hall kind of transforms and it's impossible not to get swept up in week 4 they are done. And because the comedy festival is not meant to be consumed in that way. You're not meant to go and see that many shows. So they've heard all the Tinder jokes.
Oh, yeah.
They've heard all the soliloquies at the end about how the performer never really knew their dad. They are done. If you see yourself getting a review request at the end of the festival, turn it down, is my advice to young comics, because you're not getting a fair shake.
At the end of the day, I guess you could say that really all of us are title of the show.
Very good stuff. Not too in at all.
So reviews are often skewed.
Especially in video games, I think.
Yeah.
It's something that, like, everything gets a 9 out of 10 or it gets a 7 out of 10 and it's... That's been panned.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very strange...
It's weird. Anything 5 or below is meaningless because 5 is fail.
5 is fail,
and 6 is like, fuck.
Yeah.
I think the big problem with reviewing games is that if you review a movie, you go in and you see the movie and admittedly you don't pay for it, which I think is a big... makes a big difference in whether you enjoy something or not.
Yep.
But you sit and you watch it in the same way that anyone else would.
Yep.
With a game... you're on a, you get it, let's say you get it a bit early, you're on a deadline where you have an obligation to have done pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
So you're playing it in like a whole weekend, which doesn't match up with how your average person is consuming it. So you're, I take like 3 months on a game, minimum.
I tend to think, so you were right, like with movie critics, they get in for free and that's like, you know, a $20 ticket, say.
Yeah.
I think there's some kind of weird little motivation in the back of video game journalists' minds where it's like, if I fuck over this distribution company with a bad review, and if I do it enough, then eventually I'm going to have to start paying $90 for these games.
Yeah. A lot of people say that, but I don't know, man. Like, that's their job. I think they'd be more worried about losing their job.
Yeah. But I also, I think games more than anything else, like you... Like, I go to a shop and I buy a game for, like, whatever, $60, $80.
Yep.
That's a lot of money. Like, that's games are the most expensive piece of, except for concerts, I guess, but, like, it's expensive piece of consumable entertainment.
Yep. Yeah.
Where I go home and I put it on, I'm like, I just go in and give myself every chance of wanting to like it.
Yeah.
Like, more so than anything else.
Totally.
Like, a movie, even in the cinemas, I'll do that a little bit, but games, I really, 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 I research it, I go in... wanting to love it. It's pretty rare that I spend money on a game and I get a bit in and I go, oh, I hate this. Like, I just don't put myself in that position.
Yeah, well,
and
it's strange,
if you're a reviewer as well, like, there's a skill barrier possibly to, like, if you're not good at a game, you're going to hate it a lot more than somebody else who's good at it would, which doesn't exist with a movie. I guess, like, you could say that, like, Hollywood movies versus, like, art house bullshit Zach Braff garbage is... difficult to get into, but I don't know, it's you got to take them all with a grain of salt, and like, it's really good that we live in a time now where you can just go and just watch footage of it
and you can just
go and see exactly what the game is, because like back in the 90s I remember getting disappointed by games way more often than these days.
I remember I used to have a bit of a running track record where I would take a punt just randomly on a game on the shelf and I would love it would be great,
right?
And I felt like I've got the Midas touch here. I just can tell. And then I remember get the first time I got something and going, oh, this is really
bad. Here comes
bad.
Earthworm like, Jim 3D. To fuck
it was an Ace Ventura point and click game for the PC.
Jesus. How did they fuck that one up?
Oh, that's a good question. What's like the first bad game you remember playing? Because
I remember a lot of early Nintendo, like the first Nintendo.
Yeah.
Them just being really, like, I could never work out how the fuck to get California games to work.
Right.
Because you just get dropped in.
Yeah.
And I just remember there being tons of things where it's like, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing here.
Yeah.
The Simpsons games, I, you know, of course,
right,
love the Simpsons and the Space Mutants one, going in and it just being like,
it's so
really hard to
so
the point
difficult.
Of like not being fun.
Yeah.
Like,
there was a lot of like getting the Jurassic Park game for the Mega Drive and the Crash Test Dummies game for the Mega Drive, where like, oh cool, I like the Crash Test Dummies, but the people who made this game do not like me.
I remember playing a Bugs Bunny platformer, because I used to subscribe to PlayStation Magazine. I got the demo discs every month.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was, there was some shits on that.
Stuff from Blockbuster or Civic Video or whatever as well then, which you can't
Video
remember.
Easy.
What was
for
the,
us?
What was the, who cares? What was the Bugs Bunny platformer you remember playing?
It was like a 3D game where you collected carrots and maybe Wile E. Coyote was in it and like a few of the other characters. It was just shit.
Sounds like you just weren't paying attention. I don't think you gave it a fair crack.
It was a long time ago. it was over 10 years ago.
So there's a Bugs Bunny game on the original Nintendo, which I'm looking at this with rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
But it's really... I remember it being really good. It's got cool music in it. It's just a cool, simple platformer.
Yeah. It's called
Bugs' Birthday Blowout, and I think... I believe the plot is all of Bugs' friends are planning a surprise party for him.
Yeah.
He finds out about it, and he goes, I'll show them. He, like, wants to sneak up and let them know that he knew about the surprise and fuck them up. It's something weird like that.
Bugs Bunny was always kind of a dick.
Yeah.
He's a super dick.
He was a troublemaker.
Yeah.
Daffy Duck was kind of in the right.
Daffy's just, like, full on and autistic. But Bugs is an actual... Bugs is, like, a calculated piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's a shit dude.
He's one of those people who, like, the internet has some of this as well, where, like, when he was, like, getting his revenge on something slight that someone had done to him, you know? Like, I guess when Elmer Fudd's trying to hunt him or whatever.
So he goes and blows Elmer's head off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Elmer Fudd's, like... Or, you know, like, fucking Scrooge McDuck, whatever. He's not...
Daffy.
Daffy Duck. is like building a house near Bugs Bunny, and Bugs Bunny goes like, I don't want this to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So he fucking blows it up. Like, yeah. It's way over the top.
He was a terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane, yeah. Like, over the top retribution.
Yep.
And it's the same, like, that often happens on the internet when, like, especially with breakups, where there's a story about a breakup. Yeah. So it's like, oh, this girl broke up with me, so I filled her car with cement. And they're all like, yeah, you got her, man. Yeah. That'll show her for trying to live her life.
Yeah.
It's,
I wonder why she broke up with you. Yeah, you
that's
psychopath.
That's a stupid aside.
I've been
but anyway,
a lot of videos.
I went to the head office of the crash test dummies people, and I fucking destroyed the place.
What did you do to them?
I got that game. I removed their head and arms separately.
There it is.
And then they could put them back together.
Excellent.
The crash test dummies, I mean, I feel sorry for kids these days. They were such good toys.
They were fucking awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to look up on eBay. What do you think you're paying to get a crash test dummy?
Oh, fuckloads these days.
You reckon fuckloads?
Man,
I guess for a mint condition one. They're all broken.
Yeah, they're out of print.
I looked up Transformers not that long ago. And they are selling for a lot of money these days.
I never had many. My friend had a drawer full of them, so I just go to his house.
Just steal them? Childhood. I bet you took a couple home, you fuckhead.
No, I never.
I had little shits. This guy Daniel who lived next door to me, he's still got my fucking Optimus Prime somewhere.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so I filled his car with cement.
Oh, I had an Optimus Prime. I didn't have many. I had Optimus Prime. Good story.
One of my first introductions to video games was my neighbor who I was super young. He would have been... late teenager or whatever.
I'm concerned about where this story's going.
The game of love. I remember he had a little Game and Watch game of Popeye. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And he also had a little...
Is that the one with the mirror? You'd flip it up and it'd be on a mirror? It'd be reflecting onto a mirror?
I don't think so. I think it was one of the... But it was like a Nintendo Game and Watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had Popeye licensed in it. And also he had like a little mock... little replica Frogger machine.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And he let me borrow it, and I just would, like, sit up all night playing it. Yep. And then, like, I remember one, like, after a week, his parents coming and knocking on the door and going, hey, can your son give our son back his Frogger machine that he's had for, like, a very long time now? And me being devastated and really wanting it back.
They took it back over the road, but there were so many cars in the way. They had to run between them.
I mean, this guy knows comedy, am I right?
Hello. Ignore the Herald Sun reviews. They were tired.
I didn't really talk about the new Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, well, whose fault's that?
I'm looking at Nox for the listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's introduced a new mechanic where it's like a grapple, basically like the grapple gun in the Batman games.
Yeah.
I'm finding it quite awkward to use. It's like, it only happens when like a contextual pop-up is there. It'd be like, you can go up higher on this building. And it's just like, it's not obvious why that ever happens. Because you're all, like you should always be able to do it. But there's a million buildings everywhere and you can only climb
some. That's another annoying thing in general,
really
just copying a mechanic from something else. Like, people love this in the Batman games.
And doing it worse is fucking
like,
travesty.
Yeah, because it
taking
makes
somebody
sense
else's
for
idea and
it.
Then just doing a low-rent version of it. Anyway, our video games podcast is going well.
But I would say don't go in on this game if you played the previous ones. Like, it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't bought it.
This is a bad entry level?
Yes, definitely. Okay, go back, play Assassin's Creed 2 if you can, if you got a PS3.
You'd say that's your starting point?
Yes.
Assassin's Creed 2 is a real good one.
Yeah, yeah. I've never played the first game, so...
The first game's not as good anywhere near.
Okay.
2 or Brotherhood is good as well.
Yes, the two ones. Like
and
the
I've
ones
heard 4
in
is
Italy.
Okay.
4, I don't know.
That's the pirate one.
Oh, yeah, the pirate one's good.
Yeah.
So that's Assassin's Creed summed up.
Great.
Moving on.
Fantastic stuff.
We're okay for time.
We need to talk about this. We went to PAX last weekend. We were sizzling this up last episode.
Yeah.
Michael Hing got us media passes. PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, big video games conference, expo, whatever you want to call it.
Probably
in
an
Melbourne.
Expo.
Okay. In Melbourne, so a mix of sort of like trade show where a lot of developers showing off stuff, then a big area of just like playing people going and playing games with each other.
So all bunch of different consoles across the years.
Retro, board games, all sorts of stuff. And then theatres where they had presentations, they had theme shows, they had a couple of live podcast recordings, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, if you're into games, a mecca. Like a thing where if that had existed when I was like, you know, 13, 14 and I'd gotten access, I would have been in heaven.
Yep.
So 3-day event, we got passes for all 3 days. You guys couldn't make it down on Friday.
Yep.
I was on my way to something, so I thought, you know what, I'll just poke my little fanny in here for half an hour and just see what's going on. I thought it'd be good because we'd planned to go all day Saturday. I thought I'll just be good to get a bit of a primer going in.
Absolutely.
So I went in and it was I don't quite know what I was expecting, but it was the whole thing of it was a lot kind of cooler and more chill than I was expecting. I think because I went to, about a year and a half ago, I went to the Oz Comic Con, which was at the, what's that building that's like up, that big old building opposite IMAX? That's like on the same block as IMAX.
The cinema. I mean at the museum.
Yeah.
Opposite the museum. Yeah.
No, opposite the museum. Opposite the museum.
That is opposite. The big ornate building.
Yeah, what's it called?
The fucking...
Isn't that the exhibition building?
Oh, yeah, it is.
There you go. Thanks, okay. Ben.
I just sat back and let the little cogs turn in my brain. Pop out the correct answer.
I thought if I kept talking, it'd pop out, it'd just tumble out of my mouth at some point.
So I went with comedian Xavier Michaelides, who will be on this show at some point in the future. There's a bit of hype.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a bummer because it was just all like these... It was just all...
So this
like,
is Oz Comic Con.
Yeah. It was just all comic shops just setting up booths there.
Right.
It was literally That's just like being lame. The main thing of the floor was just like, come and buy an Adventure Time figurine and the new issue of Saga that you can get literally anywhere else.
Come to this like, big comic shop.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh no, we've flown out the guy who does the voice of Goofy. Literally, that's who they had
out. We didn't even have to fly him out. Christ. We just stuck a pin in his butt one side of the Atlantic and he flew over.
And you can pay like $50 to get him to sign. Like, that gross thing where you have to like pay to get photos of people and get them to sign shit. No good. So I think I kind of had
tickets
that in
now
my
on
head.
Sale for Little Dum Dum Club live podcasts.
Yeah, it's you. So you pay to come, and then it's $50 to get us to sign something.
Yeah, sure. That's
a great racket. Yeah. So I think I just kind of had that in my head of like that's what those things kind of are. Like
right. So you had a low bar.
It's just going to be a big EB, like nothing.
Yeah.
Which I know is dumb, but then I got there and I was like, oh, of course it's like this.
Yeah.
So I sort of just like looked around for like half an hour. I was like really excited to come back the next day with my two good buddies, Ben and the other one. And then when we got there, I realized the folly in that was that I was there on a Friday midday.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like a work. It's a work day. Yeah. So of course, it's not going to be as busy. We go there and it's like double to three times as busy as it was on the Friday, which we all agree I just got heartburn. We all agreed was like it's kind of a bummer. Like it's not unpleasant.
It's too many people to be around.
I've just reached this point where I just can't do that stuff. Just bums me. It's too loud and it's too. I sound like a fucking old man, but
we are.
It is true.
And the other thing is that like I. There's situations where I'd be okay with that, but the stuff that you would have to line up for a fucking hour to go see is like, it's coming out in March. It's so like true, Uncharted 4 and stuff. Like,
So very true to form of us in this podcast where we're into it a lot. Like when we're into it, we're into it, but we're also very, I mean, the word casual is in the title.
I will drop something at the drop of a hat. I will drop it like a hat.
Yeah.
Drop it like it's hat.
Great metaphor. So we get there. We, in the first like maybe 2.25 hours that we were there, we'd spent 1.5 of those hours just in the food court.
Yeah. Yes, that is 100% true.
You guys ate. I was like, I don't really want to eat. So we just sat there talking shit for ages.
Yep.
Then we got up and we looked around for about 10 minutes and then I went, oh, you know what? Actually, I want
to
eat.
So we went to the second food court.
So we went to the second food court. We spent the same amount of time just sitting there talking shit for a very long amount of time.
Well, that's the point about like being able to just watch a game trailer, like watch footage. It's like we didn't – there was really nothing there that we couldn't have got.
I mean, the VR stuff, we kind of wanted to go see the Uncharted 4 thing. But again, we got into a line and it had not moved in 10 minutes. And it was like, you know what? Fuck this.
I'm not going to do it. And like to try the VR stuff, you had to show up early in the morning to get like a deli ticket. Maybe wait until 6 o'clock. And like, it looks really cool and I want to try VR, but man, I'm going to die one day.
Yeah.
You know?
So, this is not to say that I didn't enjoy it, but...
I enjoyed it a lot. I had a great time.
I think it's cool. Seeing some of the stuff was really cool. And like, I think that maybe my favorite thing was the big Battlefront setup they had.
Yeah.
Where they had like 30 PCs all set up playing it and a big screen behind it showing you footage of
it. Totally, we stood there for a few minutes and we watched people playing that. And that game looks real cool.
It looks like
awesome. That's going to be real great.
But again, it's coming out this month.
Sure.
So I'm not going to line up.
And so, and maybe, I don't know, I kind of had a similar misunderstanding of like what it would be. But you walk around the entire floor, you see people playing some games, you see some footage of new games, you see some, you know, systems. Seeing people play Cuphead was really cool.
Yeah, Cuphead looks great.
You have some food, And yeah, you kind of clock that off in like an hour.
Yeah.
And then, but then there's the events and there's the scheduled things, which were also cool.
Again, but like the stuff that was like on the floor that seemed to, we didn't really pay too much attention to. The stuff at like weird like booths for PC cooling fans, where some guy's on a microphone going, hey, everybody get hyped for this PC cooling fan. And then like 40 people are cheering and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Did you get excited for that? What's wrong with you? What are you doing?
I will
fill all of your cars with cement.
Oh, wow.
I will say on the Friday, I spent a little time playing the new Mario Tennis game.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is out in like a month or something on the Wii U. And it's kind of cool. I mean, I loved Mario Tennis on the 64. I was really into it. I think the mechanics of tennis just make for a great video game.
Totally, yeah. I liked it.
You know, Pong, sort of the original video game, you know.
They re-released the GameCube version of Mario Tennis on the Wii.
Yes.
And it was fucking great.
It
was
really
so fun.
I don't think... Oh, no, I think I had that one. I feel like I loved...
Wii Tennis was kind of lame. I didn't
Yeah, Wii Tennis was lame.
I loved the Mario Tennis on the 64 because it was like there was just sort of enough extra going on outside of the mechanics of tennis, like they had these kind of like themed levels and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I've kind of felt like everyone after that, they're kind of phoning it in a little bit. Like they'll add a little new mechanic, but it's like tennis is tennis and they can't really... Yeah. Mario Kart, the track design can get more and more and more crazy, but...
Yeah.
So you say that, but there was one on the Game Boy Color Mario Tennis that had this crazy fucked up RPG.
It was an RPG.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Yeah, you were at this tennis academy. Mario is just like he's the principal of the tennis academy.
Yeah,
right.
That's all he really has involvement.
And you're battling your way up to like play Mario.
And that was really fucking cool. And you're doing your stats up a bit like Tony Hawk, where it's just like little bars, little blocks in that, but for like spin and serve and whatever.
Cool. And you could then import that character into the 64 game with the little controller.
But the 64 game had none of that RPG. Stuff,
no, I know.
Which is crazy. So
which I think is like a cool idea for a mechanic to have that on the... And when they bought out the 3DS one, I got it. I knew it wasn't going to be on there, but all the reviews were going, why did they get rid of the thing of the cool RPG? That's such a great idea. Like,
and
keep
it makes
that
it,
going.
It makes it so much more interesting to kind of play repetitive tennis.
Yeah.
Because you're working towards something and it's a lot more fun that way.
Right.
So this one, the Wii U one, the mechanic is there's giant mushrooms that kind of like appear at random and you grab them and you get really big and it's kind of you take up the whole court, so it's really hard to get stuff past the other person.
That's why Roger Federer is so good. He's just a massive dude.
It's kind of like it's kind of a cool mechanic, but again, I don't know if this harkens back to my whole problem of each one they just go, it's a thing we can it's like the Power Smash things that they bought in where it was like every time you hit one of them it's like this 30 second animation.
It's so weird with those games as well, how they don't put, because like Mario Kart is the best version of that type of game.
Yes.
There's nothing that competes with that.
Yes.
And if they put the same... I remember Mario Golf was really good for a while.
But same thing. I feel like that's the same thing.
And they just fucking gave up.
They keep churning these out and it's just... I think they just kind of feel like, you know what? There'll be enough people that will buy this, but it's never going to be huge to that same level because there's not that much we can do with the mechanic. Like they put
you might say that about racing though. Like I get racing is just cars going in a circle, but they figured out ways to make that interesting, and to make the courses interesting. If they put a bit more effort into these sort of ones, that'd be fucking rad. I would love that.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know. I mean, it was fun, but I mean, who knows if it's going to be any good?
Yeah.
At this point in the life cycle of the Wii U, they just just feel like if they can sell a few, they'll be happy. Anyway, so we walked around for a bit. We tooled around for a bit. We went to the Good Game question and answer panel that we talked about last week.
Yep.
Now, we had this idea all week of how basically we go in like a bunch of rat bags.
Yeah.
And our whole MO is...
like bugs, a bunch of Bugs Bunnies.
Yeah, oh, very good.
My hands how in my trench coat.
How can we stick dynamite up Michael Hing's ass and light the fuse? That's
that
what we
Daffy
wanted to
Duck
know.
Cunt.
All I wanted to see was Michael Hing's beak just flying around his face, doing laps of that thing. So we basically what we wanted
to
do.
I forgot to bring my anvil, so we were thinking on our feet.
It was an AMA, basically, where anyone in the audience could ask questions of the entire Good Game squad.
Yes.
And so there's six of them on stage, and we were sort of brainstorming all morning, Your original idea, Ben, was to do you want to say it?
My idea was to get up there and go, hey, this one's for Michael. You recently appeared on a Melbourne-based video games comedy podcast. What's it called, and how do you find it?
That would have been very good.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
We had another idea to get up and be like, who are good comedians in Melbourne?
Yes.
And why?
Yeah.
What were some other ideas? I thought like just stupid ones like, who would win in a fight between Sonic and Frogger?
Oh, yeah.
What other ones? We thought it would be very funny if Nox just got up and went, why am I fat?
That's right. Yeah. That was Nox's one.
I didn't think of that one, oh. To be clear.
Was that Tommy?
It was definitely me.
You rude boy.
So the Q&A has started. We're not paying any. You and I are just, yeah. I'm sitting
we were,
next
I can't
to Adam.
Remember any of the other ideas we had, but we were.
I was watching and enjoying it, yeah, just to be clear.
Me and Adam, every 2 seconds, are just leaning into each other, much to, I presume, the chagrin of everyone sitting around us.
I think the people sitting behind you thought you were kissing.
Yeah.
Oh,
by
really?
The way, on the walk into the theatre where this was on, Nox fucking chews our ear off with a very long story about how the last time he was in there he saw Noam Chomsky and said it very loud so that everyone around him would hear.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, clap, clap.
Yeah.
Well, just in case there was an emergency, I wanted them to know who to come to first to figure it out the quickest.
So,
if there was a philosophical conundrum emergency, yeah, one of
quick,
those.
I'm having an existential crisis. Don't worry. No, he's more politics anyway, not philosophy. So, well, you fucking idiot.
Politics, it falls under the banner of philosophy.
Imagine Noam Chomsky the video game. What'd that be like?
Oh.
So
I bet he'd go around chomping things. That'd be
his Chomsky.
Yeah,
it's just like just a skin for Pac-Man. Yeah. So at one point I lean into you, Adam Nox, and I throw this one off the top of the dome. I think by this point, you know, we've gone back and forth with so many that you're losing. It's hard to tell what's actually good anymore. Like we're sort of trying to make each other laugh. I lean in and say that to you, and you go, I'll be damned if that isn't the one that you should get up and say. We run it.
It was good.
We run it down the conveyor belt to old Ben Vanell.
Yep.
He signs off on it, and suddenly we're fucking in business.
Yep.
So I get up into the line, and this
is about halfway through the panel.
This is about halfway through the panel. And what I was going to do was I was going to get to the end of the line, and I was going to say, my question is for the whole panel. I'm currently trying to sell my PS1 with a copy of Crash Bandicoot, $80 or nearest offer. Is anyone interested?
Beautiful.
So I'm in line, and I realize that I'm really nervous. Like, at a certain point, I realize I'm more nervous lining up to do this question than if I was, like, walking out to do a show.
Yeah,
in
and to set
theater.
The stage for listeners, it's a fucking big theater.
It's a huge auditorium.
This is not like a small. It's not on the floor. It's in a massive theater.
It's for big people. Like
several hundred people.
I saw Noam Chomsky there.
Noam Chomsky.
Noam Chomsky.
Right. Right.
I wish I hadn't been the first person to ever say something wrong. Oh well.
Noam Chomsky. Noam from Cheers.
Noam Chomsky.
Our new mascot.
Yes.
And it's very intimidating. So you walk down to the front. It's like a little mini sort of stadium setup. Like it's big raked seating, really big theatre. There's a microphone at the start, at the front of the stage. And you have to line up. And so you're sort of, when you're there, you're very exposed. Like you're in the middle, but everyone can see you. The house lights are on.
You could tell everyone asking the questions was nervous as well. They fuck it up and stuff. And like that's fun. Like one girl wrote out her question.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was a long fucking question.
And it was all about like Gamergate and stuff. Yeah. And then the next question was a young boy dressed as Ash from Pokemon going, what's a good Nintendo game?
Yeah.
I think he has a rival podcast maybe where they go like, let's ask him just what a good Nintendo game is. That's very
funny.
Let's
help him. Let's try and make it a good Q&A. So I'm there. I'm trying to steel myself. I'm practicing it in my head. I'm kind of workshopping like, is Crash Bandicoot the funniest game? And then I relax and I get confident, and then once I steel my nerves, I start thinking to myself, this is gonna fucking kill. Yeah. Like I'm picturing me saying it and I'm like, this is gonna actually destroy. Like this place is gonna go up. And also the EP of Good Game was on the panel.
Yeah.
I about a year ago sent her my resume trying to get work on Good Game.
Yeah.
And it didn't really pan out. I'm picturing her going, wait a minute, I know that name. I'm thinking best case scenario, but I'm also thinking they're not just going to cop my question and say nothing. Like they're Hing's going to say something.
He's going to going to try and zing you.
Yeah, he's going to try and sort of fuck me up back, stitch me up.
Yeah.
So then I'm thinking of like,
you've got 10 different like conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I'm planning. I'm going all the different outcomes. then they start getting the rap. There's like eight people in front of me.
Yeah.
And there's two halves as well. There's two sides.
Yeah, so Tommy joined the line and no one joined it after him.
Yeah. You were standing right up the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was brutal. And all of a sudden they're like, okay, we've got 3 minutes left. And yeah. I'm like, there's eight people in front of me. And I'm so desperate, I start thinking, they might get through them real quick. Like if they're just if all these people just ask yes or no questions.
Yeah.
And then I like, I think, should I just text Ting and go, man, I got good shit up the back here. You got to do something. You got to get me through. And so
I think we have a little sick boy up the back of the line.
And so I didn't get to do it. I didn't get to ask the question. Yeah. The panel ended, which was very, I just kind of wanted to go home after that. It's been a long time since I've been that disappointed in something. Because I had convinced myself, I'm going to be the fucking hero of PAX for the rest of it. Like, I'm going to walk out of here and everyone's going to be like, man, that was so funny when you wasted everyone's time treating this panel like the Trading Post. You're so cool.
Do you really have the PlayStation though? Like, I'd love to buy it off. Can you sign it for me?
I was actually worried about that people are going to ask. I'm like, there's no PlayStation.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to. But you know what? I feel like that's kind of like perfect for this podcast.
Yeah.
Like I said at the time. A story that didn't happen. So that was our PAX experience. I would go again, but I would be, knowing what it is, I would be a bit smarter about it.
Mm.
I would not drink on the Friday night. I would get up. You know what I'd do? I'd get there early Friday.
I want to get there early on the Friday morning. Yeah.
I would get there early and I'd knock off a lot of stuff. I'd do all the floor stuff early, first thing on the Friday.
Yep.
And then I would just kind of go back for the shows I want to see.
Yeah.
And I'd just kind of like, just loiter around periodically.
That's definitely the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's it for Filthy Casuals this week. Honk that like button on Facebook. Filthy Cas Pod on Twitter.
Rate and review us, please.
Rate and review us. Some more great reviews coming through. We really appreciate that. Share it around to your video game inclined mates. And we'll see you out there in the digital world.
Reboot!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.